It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done?
Welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed. Get your butt to Ed's Shed.
Yep. It seemed like it was just a week ago when you guys were on before.
It seems like it.
Charlie, what's the deal, man?
I don't know.
I've been several thousand miles since then.
I've been just trying to think of some opening comment that I could make that would be memorable. I haven't found it yet.
Charlie.
Memorable does not mean good.
Charlie,
okay,
so. That's true. Charlie. Forget it.
A skunk can be memorable.
Exactly. But Tom, I'm glad they actually let you back off the boat.
They opened the gate and I charged.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
The wife and I were second couple off there this morning.
I don't blame you.
Y'all went on the Fantasy Automobile?
Fantasy.
I like that ship, really.
We've been on, I don't know, what, six cruises or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably as good as any. All the food on all of the ships is always the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go, like a year ago, and you go back now, they have the same food,
mm-hmm.
and it all tastes the same. They're not going to change the menu.
I just like the smaller ship. It just feels more comfortable to me.
Well, I tell you, to have
6,000 passengers on some super ship.
Well, it also has something to do with how many children is on there.
Yeah.
Last time we went, everybody had gray hair.
I ain't going with a bunch of children.
Right.
But they like to run up and down the halls and beat on the doors.
Spring breakers.
Mm-hmm. Run in your elevator just as you start up and hit all the damn buttons,
Jump off.
And then, the parents are standing there laughing at them, and you want to reach out and grab that youngin' right by the damn neck, I'll take care of that, son. Come here.
Yeah, here, let me fix this for you.
Spend an hour with me riding up and down this elevator.
Then you got to whip nine guys' butts, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, people don't take care of the damn kids. That's all. It's just... Yep. They run wild.
But you told us you had a good time.
We did. Had a blast. We enjoyed it. I'd go again. There's not a whole lot to see in Cozumel. It's just one of those cities or little ports that is owned by the darn carnival.
You need to get out of that little shopping center at the foot of the pier.
I don't like it when those guys out there carrying those AKs and all, and those ARs.
But that little center is owned by Carnival.
I know it is.
Yep.
I want to get out of that.
Hey, if you want a good one, go take the submarine ride they have.
No, I ain't going to a submarine.
Oh, man, it's fine.
I didn't see the maintenance records on their submarine.
I didn't want to see them.
Right.
I'm not going to check them either.
If it's going to go down, I want to know it's going to come back up.
Okay.
No, we got a certificate. They take you just below 100 feet so you can get a certificate for it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're playing the themes to Jaws.
Charlie, they have all of that crap down there just mm-hmm. for people like you.
Well, sure.
I know.
I go play Fred Tourist.
I know. All you gullible suckers, I ain't blank. When you see some of the maintenance that they have on some of those things,
mm-hmm.
no, I don't think so.
Part of the tour, Tom, there was a United States Navy minesweeper sitting on the bottom.
Oh, my goodness.
And we went by it. And I don't know the story, but apparently we loaned it to the Mexican Navy, and they promptly got it sunk.
What did I say about maintenance?
Yeah.
Well, they failed to tell you that was part of the tour that they were taking people out on there last year, and now it's on the bottom. So,
Let's make some cards. They have a bunch of Cozumels.
Yep.
But I'm sure there's somebody out there that's got some problems. But, I've been wondering about this 05 Chevy Colorado that we've had here that we wanted to talk about. When you're driving down the road, the power door locks, they cycle up and down, open and close, open and close, open and close. And I'm going like, that sounds like a short in the system or something to me.
Well, and it could be several things, but what we found on this one was the aftermarket radio was causing a communication loss while you were driving. That door lock cycling is a symptom of several different things. We've seen just poor connections on the battery, high resistance in the battery cables. Either the negative side is the most common, but the positive side can do it as well. Or, like I say, just a bad connection at the battery. And when something loads up and tries to take a lot of current, all of a sudden it will drop the voltage into the vehicle enough to make it cycle like that. And where we get in a lot of times with these things, and like on this one here with the radio, to put an aftermarket radio in these cars, the factory radio is hooked to the communication system in the vehicle. To take that radio out, you have to put something back in there to let it bypass the radio. And they make little modules that you can wire into them, and it does a decent job of that. Only problem is they don't tend to hold up like the original radios do. They'll start giving issues down the road a little ways, and they'll give you nightmares. They really will. I mean, it's
We had I recall another scenario that we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago about a Chevrolet pickup truck, and that you were having to replace a new computer module in it.
Yep.
And you couldn't program the new computer module,
yep,
because it also had an aftermarket radio in it.
Yeah, the aftermarket radios really, they cause a lot of problems for us when we go to work on the communication systems or anything in the vehicle, and it can be related back to that aftermarket radio because, anything tied to that communication line can – it can kill the battery because it doesn't let it go to sleep. All these modules, they don't necessarily have a on-off power wire going to them. Like you would think you would have just a wire that gets power when you turn the key on, and it goes dead when you turn the key off.
Right.
These use modules to send out signals and tell the module to wake up or go to sleep or whatever. And if it's sitting there and that module is trying to power down and go to sleep and go into its low draw state, and something comes across that communication line that it's not used to seeing, it can wake that module back up and never let it go to sleep properly.
Hmm. Okay. All that being said, then, let's say we've got a vehicle that's an 05 or 6, 8 or 10, somewhere in there, and we have a radio problem. Does it warrant us going back to the dealership to get do you guys fix radios there?
Well, we don't actually fix them, but we can get an exchange radio or send yours out to get repaired. It's not cheap, but the factory radio systems in these, unless you're trying to
they're awesome.
Build some serious tunes in your vehicle, the factory systems are really very adequate, I like loud music, and we were talking about hearing loss before the show. But I like my radio turned up. But the upper level radio systems in our vehicles are very good stereos.
Well, would a vehicle have to be tied up for a period of time? I mean, do y'all have something that could bypass that?
No, not well.
If you sent the radio out?
If you send the radio out on certain vehicles, depending on which ones we're talking about, some just branch off the communication to the radio. Some are actually part of the loop that the communications go through. So the ones that are looped through there, it's an issue if you take the radio out. But the ones, if it's just kind of branched off to, then you can take the radio out and it really doesn't affect it too much.
So you can still drive it until the
radio comes back and that,
Well, can we live with that price, or is that something that we've got to float along?
Some of them are not terrible. And you can get up there on some stuff, but usually it's not too terrible to replace a radio in one of these, Yeah, you can buy an aftermarket radio and get it put in cheaper, probably. But
but then you got to pay all the expenses of getting all the stuff that's screwed up.
Well, and then, you know, who's going to work on it when it doesn't work right? You know, because they didn't, the people that put it in didn't fix it right to begin with. So, but anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors. And if you got any questions, give us a call when we get back and see what we can do.
A little place called Hamburger Town. I heard that old jukebox playing a song about a truck driving man. So pour me another cup of coffee. For it is the best in the land. I'll put a quarter in the jukebox and play the truck driving man.
Three. It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say I was a kid that was driving that Model A.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remke, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of text, we have one here from Rapid Ray. 99 GMC Safari. If you want to replace the batteries in the remote for the door locks, do you have to reprogram it? No, you don't have to reprogram it. It's it knows the signal coming out of that remote to the truck. So the truck actually has that. If you replace the battery, you should be good to go. Yeah. If you replace the battery and it still doesn't work, you probably got a problem with your remote. So. But there are ways to check.
What year
the
was that?
80? This is a 99 model.
Oh, a 99 model? And, can you get a new remote for that?
You can still get remotes for them. If you get a new remote, of course, you got to program it to the vehicle.
Well, now, my 89, I can't get a. I don't think I can get it.
You're 98? You're Park Avenue?
Yeah, but it's a 98.
98,
but I was
told
I couldn't get a new remote for it.
Sure you can.
Oh, I can?
Sure you can.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, you can still get them.
They, okay.
They're around. And, you know, it's just...
ballpark?
Yeah.
Reckon?
I think the remotes are probably $70, $60, $70.
I don't need a new one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to find a tech in the shop somewhere that's got a couple of them stashed in his toolbox.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, you want... You give one of them roots for my remote by 15, 20 bucks?
Find you one of these car lots that have been hoarding remotes for years.
Oh, yeah. That
drawer full of them.
There you go. Can you reprogram it?
As long as it's the right remote. I mean, just because it looks the same doesn't necessarily mean it's the right one.
How are we going to find that?
There's usually a number on the backside of it for the original one. I mean, it's if you've got one in your pocket, you can usually see it's usually cast into the back side of the remote.
There you go.
Yep.
You can just got to match that number up. UTA 256-78792.
Yep.
Yep. So you got that number. Well, it's just 1 year. Do you know?
Well, it's probably more than 1 year, and that's a fairly common remote for. Most of the cars, they did them. You know, they had that particular remote for quite a while. So, you know, they're out there.
Okay.
They're out there. You can find them. So, not a
ding,
deal.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay. All right. Yeah. Now, need to get me one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll actually be able to unlock your door from a distance
a
now. So.
Yeah. Every now and then, I have to use my key.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they all give up just like the rest of us.
Well, it's
only been
up after locked and unlocked 9 gazillion times. So
exactly, exactly. But you know, we got spring break here, and so which means that summer's right around the corner. It's time to start thinking about getting our air conditioners looked at, and then you know, getting cars ready for summer.
Yep.
It's just going to be around the corner where we get to doing our summer traveling and pulling boats and doing trailers and all this neat stuff. So it's time to get in, get the tires looked at, get the brakes looked at.
Oh, yeah.
Before the rush.
You brought up the subject. On the tires for like pickup trucks now, cars, a regular car, does it still have 4-ply radials? Yeah. Or is it two-ply radio, four-ply sidewalls or
two,
something?
Two, three. Yeah, it just depends on the, you know, they vary the plies on the side and the tread surface and that. But
all right, going to the pickup trucks now. Mm-hmm. Do they step up on those and go to a four-ply or six-ply or something like that?
It depends. It depends on the capacity of the truck and that, what you're planning on towing with it. I see people make mistakes a lot of time. They'll take a three-quarter ton truck and put the BFG KO all-terrain tires on, look great, do good, great tire, but they don't do the 10-ply tire on the three-quarter ton like they should, and you just lowered the towing capacity and hauling capacity of that vehicle.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's what I was wondering. So a half-ton pickup truck has probably got – what, six plies?
It's five or six plies.
I hadn't looked.
I think it's six.
But then we go to a three-quarter ton, we're going to have to step up to what, 10-ply?
Yeah, I believe it's a 10-ply tire. So, you know, and there's a weight capacity on for the tire and everything. You need to make sure you have the correct load range tire for your vehicle.
And all of that's going to be in the door, still in the door?
It will be in the door on the tire size. The you really need to go back to, there's some, like our system will tell us which tire it should have on it. If the tires have been changed from the factory tires and you don't know if it's got the right ones on it, you really ought to do that and check and see if it's got the correct ones on there.
So then what, you're going to have to go to the dealer and get a check a VIN number?
Well, I mean, we can do it going that way, but there's a lot of tire stores that can do it, you know, they have a catalog that'll show them what's supposed to be on there. On a three-quarter ton that has this towing capacity and that.
Well, won't our little Bible in the glove compartment also tell us too?
Probably not. There are, your factory paperwork with the truck will have a tire warranty booklet in there, and it may have it. I don't go in there and look at that very often anymore.
I understand. You've got a few more things on your plate.
Well, I mean, that's not something we have to look at too often, you know. But I believe most of that information is in there as well. But, you know, they make so many different levels of, low capacity vehicles that they don't print a book for every one. They print more of a generic book and that. So you just have to go and make sure that you when you change the tires, make sure you're getting the right stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure, you can get a cheaper tire, but
That was one of the other areas I wanted to bring up. This when you start paying a couple of $100 a tire, that's not cheap. It's economical when you say it should have a $350, $400 tire on it.
Right.
It's just more economical. But you pay $800 to $1,000 for a set of tires. That ain't cheap in my book.
No, I mean, it's very common to have $1,000, $1,200, $1,300 for a set of tires now, especially when you get in some of these bigger truck tires. But on the plus side, I've been seeing them. They last so much longer now than what they used to. It's just unreal how long they'll go if you take care of them and take care of them properly and have them rotated like they should be, keep them inflated like they should be. I had a set of the BFGs on my Dodge that were used when I got it, and I probably put 45 or 50,000 miles on it, and they were still in good shape when I got rid of them. So,
I find that you run out of the years that they recommend for you to have them if you properly take care of them, unless you got something you're going to put 100,000 miles a year on.
Yeah, and you just touched on something there that a lot of people don't pay attention to, and that's the age of the tire.
Right.
About 5 years is
limit. That's what I'm seeing or hearing.
And you really should pay attention to that. And you have to be careful because if you're buying a tire from someplace that maybe doesn't move many tires or whatever, you can get a tire that's 2 years old.
I know where there's a thousand brand new tires right now in a warehouse. And every one of them are over 5 years old, and they've never been put on anything. They're on a rack.
Yep.
But But somebody is going to buy those tires,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be on somebody's cars for a discount.
Yeah. You know, for a discounted price, if I was not planning on doing high speed and you know, pulling extremely heavy loads, if they had been inside, out of the weather, you know, I wouldn't be extremely scared of them. But
right.
if I'm going to pay top dollar for them, they're going to be
not
brand new
right.
tires.
Yeah, you're gonna, so, I'm going to pay top yeah. dollar, I want top dollar tire.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And there's a date code on the side of the tire, so you can tell when they were
well,
manufactured.
Well, that's the problem. You know, they are dated, and the company that has them is scared to sell them
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to get a liability situation there.
Right.
You know?
And yeah.
And they don't want to sell them at a discount price, so they sit there and, you know, just sit out and sit there and look at them.
Right, you know? Right. Well, they'll probably end up in the hands of some of the used tire places.
They will.
Yeah.
And they'll be
yeah.
sold for $100, $150 on, you know, a $300, $400 tire.
Right.
You know,
right.
so.
And, you know, hey, that's, you know, that'll keep someone going down the road that
oh,
can't
yeah.
afford them otherwise.
Sure.
You know?
Hey, you know,
yeah,
what you can afford. I've run used tires on my car for years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd much rather have that tire than a tire that's been out in the weather for 4 or 5 years
oh,
that
no,
has
no
40,000 miles
or,
on it and
yeah.
you know, has been abused and run hot and whatever, I don't know how many times. So, you know, it's I'd much rather have the one that's been sitting in a warehouse for sure. But
there you go.
Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, you have to do what you have to do to keep one going down the road. I understand completely. But yeah, it doesn't always make sense to spend the money for brand new stuff at times, depending on what kind of car. Heck, you may buy a tire that's going to last 5 years on a car that's going to last 6 months.
Right.
So
that's so true.
Yeah. So you just got to be smart how you spend your money for sure.
There you go.
But looks like it's time for us to take a break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Wow.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we have a caller online with us. Tom, is she with me?
Yes, you bet, and certainly appreciate y'all's show.
Appreciate.
I wanted to reach out in terms of and buying a used vehicle. Is there a checklist or something that you recommend? Is there somewhere to go online or somewhere that you say? And I say more than anything, water just scares me to death. The fact that you can get such a beautiful vehicle and it looks so good, and if it's had that damage, it's going to get you.
Right.
Is there a suggested checklist or somewhere that it's online that you'd say, taking it to a mechanic, say, I want these things. I want to assure these things are done to,
right.
to protect me.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure there are some online. I have not personally looked for them. You know, we have our own that we go by. But you know, I'm sure there are some used car checklist inspection sheets out there. The key thing is get it to somebody that is knowledgeable in what they're doing and let them inspect the vehicle. Tell them what your concerns are, you know, about possible water damage, any of that kind of thing. Have them check for any signs of that, as well as, you know, the mechanical portions of the vehicle for leaks, drips, runs, errors, you know, worn out suspension, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And just any kind of signs.
It's nothing like not paying for that depreciation and getting one with, you know, I love 30,000 miles. It's great as long as it's with the right vehicle.
Right,
so,
right. And that's
anyway. Well,
perfect. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I certainly appreciate the show. Appreciate what you guys do. Thank you. I do safety in the area and
yeah.
work on the weekends and some of your people who work with the program there. I think they work just as hard as I do. They're a good group.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Listen.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye. Thanks. You too.
Boy, and I'll tell you what. Do you see the flooding in Nebraska? We got probably another couple of 100,000 vehicles water
yeah.
damaged again.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot more there. They're having fits up there for sure. But it looks like we do have another caller online. Caller, you with us?
Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Scooter Pop here.
Hey, Scooter. What you
How
doing,
about
bud?
Kyle Busch? He's rolling, ain't he?
He's rolling. I tell you what, he's been fast
People
here lately.
People might not like him, but you can't ignore him.
No, no, I'm not a big Kyle Busch fan, but you have to respect what he's been able to do. He's one of the best talents we've had come along.
When he comes to Talladega, he'll probably get booed.
Well, yeah. And, you know, that's okay. Yeah, at least they're paying attention to him.
If you remember, one NASCAR driver ran both Indianapolis and the World 600 the same day, didn't he?
A couple of them have done it, and I'm not sure who the last one was, but there's
Rusty
been,
Wallace, wasn't it?
I don't know if Rusty did or not. I think he may have, but there was I know Tony Stewart's done it, and John Andretti's done it, and Kurt Busch has done it, Kyle's brother. So Kurt,
what is Kyle, 33?
Yep, I think he's 33. He's going to be with us for a long time. So.
And he drives that number 18 car real fast.
Yep.
Isn't Joe Gibbs his owner?
Yes, he is.
He's won Super Bowls, and now he's running NASCARs.
Yep. I tell you what, they've had the best of the best equipment here over the last couple of years, and it's hard to argue with what they're doing.
Joey Logano's running well, too.
He is. I'm disappointed to see that Chevrolets are not doing real well this year. I thought they had things figured out.
Kev, how you doing, man?
Oh, we're doing good. Doing good, bud.
Be sure to tell your brother Mike I asked about him.
I will.
You want Scooter Pump?
Give me a pump, buddy.
Woo!
All right.
God bless you all. Have a good week.
Thanks, Scoot. But, it's hard to argue with what Gibbs and those guys have done.
Do not understand what has happened to the General Motors stuff. I mean, you know, and I know that the cars are basically identical aerodynamically because they're checking them with darn lasers. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to be some little something somewhere on the aero part of these cars that they can go fast on their own, but when they get to racing, they can't race with the guys because they're just not – I don't know if it's – they get too loose, lose the front end, something, the air's not flowing over them like there are the other cars, or well, under
the,
them. Is
the Fords, the Mustangs are doing great, and the Toyotas are doing great, but the Chevrolets – but, I mean, look, even Childers is his outfit. I mean, he's as good as there is.
Right.
And Andy Petrie, didn't he go back over there as tech director?
I think he's in there as one of their competition directors or
right.
something.
Right. So, I mean, he's sharp as a tack. Yeah. He's been around a long time. Mm-hmm. And then you take Hendricks. Man, you can't take nothing away from Hendricks. I've been in that facility.
Yeah.
I know what they've got. And back in the day, we used to go up there and sit down and talk to the engine people and all.
Yeah.
They got everything,
Anything you could possibly imagine wanting, have access to.
I can remember going in there, and we always talk about cams and all that kind of stuff. And they would have 200 or 300 cams.
Right.
On one shelf.
Yeah.
And in two or three different configurations,
Yeah, I tell you, I know the difference back when I was running my super stock and we were really experimenting with motors and cams and that. And, I would change the camshaft in mine four or five times a year looking for more.
Right.
And I know what
Twicking
I gained
right.
by
right.
doing those yep. four or five cam changes.
Well, they can do it in one day on the dynos.
Well, that's the thing is they're sitting there. They've got engineers and people sitting there just designing and playing with different camshafts all day, every day.
Right.
And so that little, you gain a little bit here, a little bit there. It may not be, you may not have gained peak horsepower.
I'll take a tenth here and a tenth there or 2 horsepower here and 4 horsepower there.
Well, I'll get it. I'll take that it makes a horsepower or two less as long as it carries out from an earlier stage to a later point
right,
in RPMs.
Right, it's the right place.
Yeah.
Yep, to RPMs.
Give me the horsepower where I want it,
There you go. There you go.
We got another call online. Caller, you with us?
Hello?
Yes, what can we do for you?
This is Thomas. Good evening, guys.
Hey, Thomas. How you doing, buddy?
Say, the difference between the Ford and the Chevy and the competition in these long races, could it have anything to be to do with the stroke? You know, Chevy's got that short stroke, the Ford a longer stroke. In over a duration of a race, you have a more dependability, let's say, from the Ford?
Well, you know, and back in years past, that did matter. Right. But, you know, NASCAR has kind of gotten away from mandating what bore and stroke you use to going to, okay, this is the maximum cubic inches you can have, and they don't really care how you get there. You can play the game with a different bore and stroke and that kind of thing. And they all do that for different racetracks. They may want power in a different spot or whatever, and they'll change the big bore short stroke stuff was more for short track and vice versa for the long tracks. You know, it's just, you know, they were playing with a lot of that stuff. And we've done some of it on the short tracks as well, basically just taking their lead, you know. Some of their old parts.
But you're totally right. Back in the day, Fords were very dominant on their torque and the amount of torque that they built in where they built it on the long tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where the Chevrolets were held up when it came to that smaller tracks and the short tracks, like, you know, like the Martinsvilles and the Bristols and places like that.
Yeah, and drag racing too, right, Tom?
Oh yeah, you know what? Hey, but you know, I can remember when we used to just hold our, you know, squint our eyes and grit our teeth when we turned 8,000 RPMs.
Right.
You go up to 12.
Right. You know, but now you see them get out there now on a NASCAR track and they run 9,000, 9,200, you know, 9,400. I've seen them get up there to 10,000. I'm going like, you know, it's and then
it's
the temperature,
engine, right?
Temperature is 280 degrees. You know, and I'm going like, what?
Oh my gosh! Say, I love your show. I always listen, and it's great to get the veterans building right down there. And you guys
you
have a great night.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. Bye-bye. But yeah, there's and one thing I have noticed over the last few weeks, or just even this year, you know, we had gotten to a point to where you just didn't hardly see an engine break.
Right.
But I've seen several motors
blow up big this year. Yeah, I think they're pushing that envelope a little bit further. You know, this year
they're trying different things.
Yeah, they're trying so much different
and,
stuff
with this tapered spacer restrictor plate, basically. This pushing them to do different things that they're not really used to doing, mm-hmm. and they're finding the weak points.
Right. But well, that's the way you find them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Believe me, I broke a bunch of motors just looking pushing.
Oh, you say, we can't do that anymore. We got to go a different direction.
Got to try something different. Yeah. It's I broke two crankshafts in one of my super stock cars years ago trying to run a lightweight harmonic balancer, aluminum hub basically instead of a balancer, and that is not a good
idea.
That
don't want to work.
It made power.
Oh yeah, it make power, but it don't make power long.
It didn't live good. It didn't live. But you know, it's I'll give up a little bit of power for durability every day.
Yeah.
But looks like we got another caller online. Caller, you with us?
Oh yeah. It's just Panini Pete calling to harass you guys.
Well, I just want to know what in the world is going on at the fabulous Ed's Seafood Shed. Get your butt to Ed's.
You must have saw some people hammering some nails over there, huh, Tom?
Man, I've heard it all the way across the bay.
I might have to put out a restraining order. You've been watching me a little too close.
Mm-hmm. I'll be watching you over there about Wednesday too.
Come on, man. We're building a new roof over that patio, and weather's getting warm. We're fixing to light it up.
There you go. There you go, Big Daddy. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I wanted to take a second to thank you for doing that pancake breakfast over there that Saturday morning for that young officer that lost his life. That was just such an awesome event. And you guys gave every dang penny plus some, you know, to give that to them. And I was pleased and proud to be able to go with Nick down there and personally hand it to the chief at the police department, because we know where it went when we do that.
Sir.
Yep.
Well, it's tough when something like that happens in your community, and it's, you know, Nick's father was a police officer in Philly for years.
Right.
And my grandfather was a police officer in Chicago for 40 years. And, you know, so that hit pretty close to home for us. And it's just, you do what you can do, and we know how to feed people. And, you know, Nick really spearheaded that, and the crew did phenomenal over there, and everybody came in and worked hard. And, you know, we had a couple suppliers kick in and help us out with some of the product. And U.S. Food stepped up, and Community Coffee stepped up, and we were able to raise a lot. And the community stepped up. They ate a lot of pancakes.
Right.
And we were able to raise a lot of money, and hopefully it'll help that family out. Who knows? We may do an annual event.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, give us up to date now about the hammering the nails. Now, what's going on?
Well, we're extending that roof over that lower deck, which is best seats on the whole causeway.
Ooh, but,
you know,
yeah.
This way, if it's a little sunny or, you know, whatever, you got protection, you got a great view, and we're rolling out a few new additions to the menu here. About the end of the month, we're going to be kicking up some music and some turtle races. The kids' zone is going to be lighting up. It's going to be a crazy year up there.
Awesome. Awesome.
Grits, greens, gumbo, and that awesome coleslaw, baby.
All right. Grits, greens, and gumbo. If it ain't fried, it ain't cooked.
I'll tell you, man. Yeah. It is... you know, still very present in that place, Ed and Barb. And, you know, I keep up with them on Facebook. And, you know, they're retired now, and they got the fifth wheel, and they're traveling a bunch. But
they left quite
a legacy. And I'm honored to be able to, like I said, I'm just taking your kid to college. It's just the next chapter, you know.
There you go, big guy. Well, man, you just don't know how much we appreciate you being working with us here on the show and keeping all the information out and doing such a great job with the fabulous facility on the causeway.
Well, we love you guys, and we appreciate your listener support down at Ed's Seafood Shed. Come on down and get fed at Ed's.
Fed at Ed's? Get your butt to Ed's Seafood Shed.
Get fed at the shed.
Shed. Take care, Benini.
Hey, we'll see you soon. Take care, guys.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Pete. It sounds like we've run up to our break here. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Who is a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway? Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy hauling for eight from Chicago to St. Louis, Lord, I see her every day.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, there's like a river that you travel on. There's one day here, the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stay, sometimes you turn.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We do have a caller online. Caller,
hello, Gary.
Hi, Kevin. I've got a 94 Ford F-150 with a 5.0 engine.
Uh-huh.
It's still all the emissions stuff. Everything, it's still stock. Real
right.
High mileage. Anyway, it's setting a PO-172 code, lean.
Right.
And I've replaced the first thing I did is I looked for the a vacuum leak. I got a can of starter fluid sprayed around the vacuum hoses, the intake stuff, with the engine island.
Right.
Did not find a vacuum leak that way.
Mm-hmm.
I did go ahead and replace the rubber hose from the intake to the air filter because it looked kind of bad.
Right.
I put a new one on that. I put a new advanced airflow sensor, put a new O2 sensor. I went ahead and did flows because it was time to do them, and when I did them, they were white.
Right.
You know, looking like lean.
Right.
I even have built me a smoke machine, and I've, you know, pressured the system up and looked for smoke leaks.
Right.
And, man, I can't find a vacuum leak.
Yeah.
But it actually does run like a vacuum leak. When you crank it up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
for the first half mile or so, it kind of stumbles a little bit like it's too lean.
Right.
Then it's notable, warms up, you know, it gets okay.
Yeah. I think what you probably got going on is you've got a bad injector or clogged up injectors.
I run is like Chevron and Shell fuel.
Yeah, but they still get to that point, you know, where they still get some buildup. You know, the filters, you know, still let enough stuff by them to where they.
Oh, I've changed the fuel filter too. While you mentioned that, that's done too.
Yeah, and it's
but it has a couple hundred thousand miles on it.
Right, and that's, you know, it's not surprising that the injectors may be starting to get a little weak. Either they're not flowing properly, or you have one that the resistance value has changed on. It wouldn't hurt to, if you have access to a ohm meter, and measure each injector across the two terminals, one at a time, write them down, and they should be within a tenth or two of each other. You know, if those are like 12 and a half ohm injectors, they should be within, you know, 12.4 to 12.6, you know, somewhere in that general area. They're all going to be very close. If you've got one that's wrong, then that's going to be the issue. But, you know, and it could still just be one that, you know, or all of them as a group just not flowing as well as they should, you know.
I drive this truck every day.
Yeah.
And I've maintained it real well. I mean, actually, the motor in it's got 200,000. The truck's got 400,000.
Right.
I mean, I really take care of it. But,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it's not missing. After it warms up, you know, it runs fine. I drive it to work every day.
Right. Well,
you clear the code and it keeps resetting.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me back towards thinking that the injectors are just not flowing like they should, because when it's cold, it needs more fuel to run and run properly. So as it warms up, it would actually get a little better in its idle quality in that. So, you know, it's you can try running some, you know, Tecron, some kind of injector cleaner through it for a few tanks and see if that doesn't help it. But I would still check the resistance value of those injectors. Some of those around that time period they were having some issues with, you know. And if you got 400,000 miles on those injectors, if they were swapped from the other motor, you know, even if they got 200 on them,
those injectors have 200,000.
Yeah, even at 200.
I did run some gas cleaner with that. What is it, PFOA?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the good stuff, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah. But you're going to have to do it for like two or three tanks in a row to help try and clean them out. If all the resistance values are good, you know, and they may not clean up. You know, it may still be an injector problem. If you don't have a vacuum leak somewhere, then I'd be willing to bet that's probably what's going on with it.
Okay, I'll do that. I've got the other engine I pulled out, and I could rob the injectors out of it if I need one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course, if it's been sitting for that long, they'll actually stick on you, and you'll put them in there.
It's been sitting for about 4 years, five years now.
Yeah, it'll definitely do that.
Be better off to buy a new one, huh?
Yeah, at that point, new's better. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for your help. I'll check it with the ohm meter. That'll be my next step.
All right. I appreciate you.
You know, if that guy has got enough know-how to build a smoke-generating piece to go on there, then he's certainly got enough to get you up and go to use an ohm meter. I think that's where you were going with it.
Yeah, he can.
He has, you know, he's done. He's a tech.
Yeah, I mean, he's checked the things that needs to be checked on it. So, you know, just got to, I just believe it's going to be an injector not flowing quite like it should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the computer's expecting to have to keep it on X milliseconds to get the right amount of fuel out, and if it can't get there at that, it's just going to show
he's
up.
He's done
lean
an unbelievable problem. Job on burning the right fuel and burning the good the good quality fuel in there of Chevron and Shell to be able to get 200,000 miles out of them to start with. That just normally doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But you know, we're coming up towards the end of the show. I just want to mention my employer and one of our main sponsors.
Awesome
here,
company.
UJ Chevrolet. And it's also time for the Nappy Awards. So
if you
can go online and vote for UJ as your favorite car dealership in Mobile, we'd all greatly appreciate that.
Well, don't forget the Car Doctor radio show.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to be voting for they need to be voting for you, Big Daddy.
A vote for them is a vote for me, so we're good. You know, it's you know, I appreciate everybody listening, everybody calling in, and the support everybody gives us at UJ. You know, I think we've got a really good thing going there, and we do our best to treat customers the way they need to be treated.
Y'all do an awesome job, man.
It sounds like we've come to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, I'll be back next week along with Tom. And
hoorah! All of our vets and first responders, another big hoorah!
In trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.